Technorama episode 424, Dabo Tables and Matching Chairs.
Captain, I'm picking up a signal on subspace, audio only. It sounds like an advertisement for the early 21st century.
Sulu, where's Uhura?
On vacation.
Who the hell authorized that? Ah, you look terrible in a skirt.
Thank you, sir.
On speakers.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I heard about a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
And apparently Sulu sounds a lot like Rod Serling.
You need to work on your Rod Serling, pal.
I do. I wasn't in the Serling zone, Twilight zone. Okay. Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If you're a first-time listener, welcome to the show. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. Have your head examined. No, really, we appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi. Not with me this week is Craig Stepp. He is...
Yay! Oh, sorry.
But in the studio joining me, we have the comedy stylings of...
Me, Brian Brown. I am multiple personalities of comedy stylings, I think. Don't you agree?
I'm all the time.
Yeah, there you go.
Definitely. And I'm Tim Adamek, also mistaken quite frequently for Brian Brown.
Yes, imagine that. No, I'm Tim Adamek.
No, I'm Brian Brown.
No, I'm Brian Tim Adamek.
I'm Tim Brown Adamek.
Ah, I'm Chuck Tomasi. Oh, wait.
No.
We broke something.
Where were we?
I'm so confused.
Apparently, I don't know who I am because I've got Menengue's house now and Evo Terra's car.
Yeah,
Sheila
exactly.
And Evo's car. That's awesome.
I'm starting the podcast museum. Next is Adam Curry's Senseo machine.
I wonder what he's going to collect from us next, Tim.
I really don't know.
Yeah, it starts with Evo and, you know, and Mike.
I want Father Roderick's collar.
I'm just scared what he's going to try to take from us next.
Yeah,
and that's all.
I don't know. Anything but our time.
Yeah.
Identity theft is a crime.
Oh, man.
There you go.
You'll improve my credit if you do. So.
Me too. Go for it.
All right. Wow. Coming up in this episode, we have Snake Trooper, another sign of the singularity coming, and circular stuff. Stick around.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We're more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
This is David Levy, amateur astronomer, lover of the night sky, and comet discoverer. You are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
I'm learning.
Slowly but surely.
That can opening makes such a beautiful waveform. It's got this cool heartbeat looking thing, if you've seen it.
It's awesome, yeah.
It's beautiful.
The way sound looks is just awesome.
It's pretty amazing, yeah.
The way sound looks. I want a soundbite of that.
You have it.
There you go.
The way sound looks is awesome.
Well, you know, it's funny that, you know, after all the years of us doing Slice and whatnot, you know, I can tell Tim's waveform versus my waveform versus Mike's waveform versus Sam's waveform. So
yes,
it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and even what mic you're sitting at.
Yeah.
Because
I
noticed that mine comes out a lot lower, but anyway, that has nothing to do. You know, somebody's going to download this just to open up the waveform.
Yeah.
There you go.
We have feedback.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right ahead and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman, mail today.
We have voicemail, but I just want to hear the music play out.
I'm just kind of glad that we don't have video to see you dancing around.
We will have video soon. We're getting to that.
Kind of scary, actually.
I don't know. It's worth the price of admission.
Yeah, no pants.
And now another message from Will the Computer Guy.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, Will the Computer Guy. It's been a long time.
No, Craig.
I was talking to Chuck earlier today about service, or earlier this week about ServiceNow, and realized I hadn't listened to you guys in a long time. So anyway, my call is about retro games, and the one I loved the most was the Intellivision. That was my all-time favorite gaming console. My friend had an Atari 2600, but I always felt that the Intellivision beat out that one. But many days, and then I got my Commodore 128, or Commodore, what did I get? I got the VIC-21st, and then the Commodore 64, and then the 128.
But upgrades. Yeah.
That's where I went. Anyway, have a great day. Bye.
Man, I love the Intellivision, but it was so expensive compared to the 2600.
Yes, it was.
So I think it went to later.
It had a bizarre architecture.
Well, yeah, you got that little disc and, of course, the buttons for the different things. But then, of course, came with, you know, the Intellivoice. B-29 yes. Bomber. You know? Yeah, everybody knows it.
Oh, yeah.
I loved their commercials, though, when they'd compare the graphics. Here's Atari's basketball.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's ours. It was like looking at, you know, Halo versus the old Duke Nukem 3D when it first came out. I was like, really?
But out of the ColecoVision was still just amazing.
It had some amazing games, too.
Again,
another
time.
Weird controller. And the joystick and the buttons.
And the buttons, yeah.
And then two side buttons.
Same on the Intellivision. The Intellivision had four.
That's right. It had four. You're right.
And those were always the ones that broke.
If it goes beyond the 2600 joystick and one button, I'm sunk. That's why I can't play like an Xbox or anything these days.
Oh, like, wow. Look at all these buttons and sticks and stuff and what?
I have to use both hands? What source of witchcraft is this?
Oh, so you don't want to look into Elite at all, the new version of Elite that has come out.
Yeah.
That was an old Commodore 64 game that they've actually popped out. That one, basically, you need to build a simulator in your room.
I could go for something like Kinect where, you know, you move your arms around and things.
Okay.
Yeah, this one they've got, I mean, they got the guys buying the, you know, 700 button controllers and stuff for that and going, God, I wish I'd gotten the 900 one.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Insane.
It's insane.
What? You got to be a freaking octopus to do
Pretty
that.
Pretty much, yeah.
Or then some. Oh. All right, man. Signing out. We love the music. Thank you, Will, whom we haven't heard from in decades.
Decades.
Podcast decades. So let's, since we're talking history, let's do the history thing. Right in the ear. On this day in history for January 21st, 2015. This is obviously the 21st day of the year of the Gregorian calendar. There are 344 days remaining in 2015. It was on this date in 1789 that the first American novel, The Power of Sympathy, or Triumph... It sounds like a Bullwinkle thing.
Power of Sympathy, or The Triumph of Nature, founded in the truth.
It is printed in Boston, Massachusetts.
Wow. January 21st, 1899, Opel manufactures its first automobile.
Wow, they were around for a long time. My brother had a little Opel GT.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was 61 years ago today that the first nuclear-powered submarine, the USS Nautilus, launched in Gorton, Connecticut by Mamie Eisenhower.
Really?
Yeah.
She was the first lady of the United States.
That's my queen impression. We'll save that for another time. That same date in 1960, Little Joe 1B, a Mercury spacecraft, lifts off from Wallops Island, Virginia, with Miss Sam, a female Reese's monkey, on board.
Wow. It was 44 years ago today that the current Emily Moore Transmitting Station, the tallest freestanding structure in the United Kingdom, began transmitting UHF broadcasts.
Oh, Christendom.
BBC One. January 21st, 1976, commercial service of Concorde begins with the London, Bahrain, and Paris, Rio routes.
Wow. 76.
Yeah.
And it seemed like just yesterday it was decommissioned.
Yeah.
All those people, how lucky they were. Production of the iconic DeLorean DMC-12 sports car begins in Dunmurry, Northern Ireland in 1981 to be used as a time machine.
That's right.
And a Coke mirror.
It was 11 years ago today that NASA's Mare A, the Mars rover Spirit, ceases communication with Mission Control. The problem lies in the management of its flash memory, and it's fixed remotely from Earth on February 6th. Imagine that.
Awesome. I know what operating system they use. Yeah. Happy birthday goes out on this date to Russian mathematician Ivan Mikhailovich Pervushin, I think.
No, he's saying it all wrong, comrade.
Born on this date in 1827.
Also born on this date in 1882, Pavel Florensky, another Russian mathematician. Yes, that's the way we say it.
Actor Telly Savalas was born today in 1922.
I miss Kojak.
Who loves you, baby?
Who loves you?
English actor, singer, and screenwriter Benny Hill would have been 91 today.
Oh, wow.
Singer.
Radio host and anchor Wolfman Jack was born today in 1938.
I want you to do that in your best Wolfman Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Radio hosting manager, yeah. Co-founder of Microsoft, Paul Allen is 62.
Oh, wow.
Who's cleaning up this act?
Oh, and finally, actress Gina Davis is 59, and she still looks hot.
Don't forget, today is National Hug Day in the U.S., and there's an interesting sub-article. Well, you don't want me to do hugs, because if you saw me at Dragon Con, I was doing all kinds of awkward hugs, which was fun in itself, but... I had to include this article because the dangers of the Dust Bowl included electrocution by hug.
Right, because it kind of fits in with what Tim was talking about.
With the charges,
doing woodwork and then trying to do something molded, 3D printing
at the same time.
Yeah, those particles are very fine, and of course, dust particles when they get real fine like that generate static electricity.
Yes.
So, do you want me to read the story?
read the first part.
During the Dust Bowl, people living in northern Texas and Oklahoma had to contend with storms of flour fine dust that would last for days. The dust blasted through cracks in the window frames, under doors, blinded people, smothered cattle to death.
All righty.
And it also made people into walking tasers.
Awesome.
Yeah. So children run up to their mothers for a hug, and the mother and child wake up on the ground, knocked unconscious by the massive static shock. Two men shaking hands would knock each other down, and the person who had been out in the dust storm for any length of time could be in danger.
This was not in the Grapes of Wrath.
Yes. I think Steinbeck's kind of, we'll talk. That's not really important. I think there was a bigger theme, maybe, Chuck? Maybe just a little bit.
I would have gone the geek factor.
I know. Physicists know that sandstorms can provoke lightning, but no one knew how static charge would build up during a duster. So Troy Shinbrot at Rutgers University recently came up with a model that showed how particles of dust could build up large static charges. He didn't believe in his ideas until he calculated that it would only work when the particles reached a certain density in the air.
Oh, okay.
So when testing out the theory with glass beads, he saw that how they reached a certain density level and the charges just...
Should I be concerned the next time we have a Habib here?
Yeah, because it basically turned Oklahoma into a giant capacitor.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what he's saying.
Was it a flux capacitor?
Not quite.
No.
No, and besides, how could you get Oklahoma up to 88 miles an hour?
Never.
Man, I tell you what. I bet we could give us a little bit of that extra moonshine in the tank.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Yeah, hold my beer and watch this. Exactly.
Good news, everyone.
Uh-oh, I don't like the sound of that.
And I don't like the sound of this article either, because there is now a real robotics company called Cyberdyne. Who thought that was a good idea?
This'll end well.
Yes. Yeah. What could possibly go wrong? Remember the company from the Terminator franchise called Cyberdyne Systems?
Oh, yeah.
The same company that builds lethal robots and develops Skynet, the network of computers that eventually tries to destroy all of humanity? Well, there's a real company called Cyberdyne, and they make robot exoskeletons.
Yeah, this will end well. Definitely am.
Even better.
It's based in Japan.
Oh, hi.
They build exoskeleton suits that are used in nursing homes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I've actually heard about these. So that people who have a hard time getting around can get around now.
Right, and then they can be assimilated and become giant living weapons.
Right, exactly. Help me, am I stuck?
Grandpa was a T-1000.
Wow. Oh, did you dig the name of it, what they called them? Hal.
Hal.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
What is wrong with these people?
Japan.
Yeah.
And my follow-up article, of course, this week was prominent scientists sign a letter of warning about AI risks. You think with people running around with CyberKnife, Stephen Hawking, Elon Musk, and many other prominent figures have signed an open letter pushing for responsible AI oversight in order to mitigate risks and ensure the societal benefit, unquote, of technology. The open letter was put together by the Future of Life Institute. Would that be the FLI?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the Foley?
Foley.
A group mobilized by Skype co-founder Jan Tallinn, MIT's Max Tegmark, and Harvard's
Victoria Krasnova.
Krakova. Boston University's Maya Chitna Tegmark. Any relation to Max? And UC Santa Cruz Professor Anthony Aguirre. Oh, my.
Well, and here's the great thing. All they do is they'll just sell it off to Microsoft and it'll blue screen. It's cool. Yeah. Don't sweat. It's all good. But here's the thing. You know, we always talk about AIs, but what happens is we're thinking at human level.
Yes.
AIs eventually will possibly outdo us. What makes you think that they won't get around what we put in place?
Oh, it's as soon as you get truly sentient artificial intelligence,
we're screwed.
If it turns evil, you have no time.
Well, it maybe doesn't necessarily turn evil, but it thinks of us as insects.
Right.
Like we think of insects.
Well, I guess from our point of view, that's basically evil.
Evil, right. Yeah.
And we call them toasters. And then they get
frackin'
mad.
Toasters.
Yeah. Frackin' toasters. And then they get mad and squash us.
Yes.
Okay.
They
I get
us.
It.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Save us, Gaius Baltar. You're our only hope.
Wait, doesn't he betray? Wait. Oh. Bad.
You can never really tell. Was he a good guy or bad guy or just a
crazy guy with a voice in his head?
With them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a sellout.
I still like the scene where they walked in on him in the lab with his pants down.
Oh, yeah. His pants down. Oh, yeah. What is my motivation for this scene?
Well, let's see. You got your pants down around your ankle. You're humping an imaginary chick.
Trisha, you just stand off stage, okay?
Right. Yeah, just stare.
And she's
at
rolling her eyes.
All right. A good story from our friend Douglas Alexander in Australia. Tim, would you care?
The Star Wars Stormtroopers charity walker Scott Loxley saved from a potentially deadly snake. All of them in Australia are deadly. In North Queensland by the armor.
His,
wow. Yeah. Stormtrooper armor is hopeless against lightsabers.
Of course.
Or blaster bolts or anything else. But it is good protection against the venomous snakes of North Queensland.
Wow.
Scott Loxley, who is walking around Australia dressed as an elite soldier of the Galactic Empire from sci-fi franchise Star Wars to raise money for charity, says the iconic armor protected him from a King Brown snake bite this week. Yeah, you don't want one of those.
No.
I want TD0013 to do something like that. Get away from me, you snake.
Yeah, no kidding.
Have you seen the one with the Swami? He's got all the cobras and everything, and he reaches out and just quack, thwacks one cobra down.
Yeah, the snake's getting a little test.
Yeah, he just
looks
out
and goes, whap! No, you don't.
Yeah.
Smacks. Oh, my.
Yeah, I know. And you're just like,
wow.
Your jaw drops to the ground.
That's
like,
Jedi power.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what TD would do.
Well, that's awesome, though.
So what was he doing?
Why was he walking around Australia in his 501st?
So he set out from Melbourne on a 15,000 kilometer, that's like what, 400 feet? journey in 2013 in an attempt to raise $100,000 for the Monash Children's Hospital.
Oh, it was for a good cause.
Yeah, absolutely. He reached Queensland last month following the long journey across Victoria and South Australia up the Western Australian coast. And through the top end.
Very good.
I love this is how it happens. You know, basically he's like, there's a snake in my boot.
wow.
Mr. Loxley had just left Yarbrew north of Mackay on Wednesday when he came across what he thought was yet another dead snake.
Another dead snake.
It's a beauty. Look at this brown king snake.
Oh!
Just like...
Isn't that how it kind of ended out in the first place?
Don't pick up the snakes.
Yeah.
Don't kick the dead snakes, apparently.
Yeah. Yes. Mr. Loxley, a former Army soldier, used his official Facebook page to share the story of his encounter with the vicious snake. Yeah, I almost got killed. Here, let me post on Facebook.
That's my first thought.
Exactly. He's lunged at me and bit me, but the good news is the armor, he bit me in the shin. The armor actually protected me and stopped the bite. God, that's lucky.
It is very lucky.
Yeah, because he could have bit him just about anywhere else.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's lots of holes in the armor where you just have the black fabric.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is the worst part. I could feel the teeth on the plastic scraping, but the armor actually stopped something.
I want to see a picture of the scrapes, man. Oh, man. Oh, it's not in here. Oh,
there's no picture.
Oh, there's just a picture of Mr. Loxley here. Does it play?
Storming Australia Day 277.
Snake!
It's hot. I've just passed through a small town called Yarrabra, which is good. I'm away to Kalin. Apparently there's a caravan park there, so I'll check it out. There is, I have a shower, which would be nice. That would leave me only 54 k's from Mackay. Get in Mackay, Friday afternoon. Look at the goods.
He's carrying a selfie stick and talking to him.
Selfie stick.
We won't play the whole video out. I don't think that's the video that actually has the aha.
Yeah, exactly.
The aha moment.
Maybe, I don't know, but I'm sure you'll have links on your website, right, Chuck?
Yes. In the show notes we have Stormtrooper armor beat snake. Just look for that.
Instead of rock beats, you know, whatever.
Rock, paper, lizard, Spock, Stormtrooper armor.
Armor, yeah, snake. There you go. It's a lizard or a snake, yeah.
Now you know, Stormtrooper armor beat snake.
There you go.
Happy birthday. We're going to turn to the birthday calendar. We have lots of them this week. We have Michael Rabelais, a.k.a. Stingray 42, on the 21st. 22nd, we have a pair of birthdays, TAW012294. That sounds like something out of Gattaca or something.
It does, doesn't it? That's your official prisoner number.
And Jason Tucker. I believe he had a podcast once upon a time called Tucker Tales.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Luke, who I know is a long-term listener, and we've met her once in Chicago, and her son. On the 23rd, also on the 23rd, Chris Moody from Patio Media Chat. Craig Stepp.
Who's that guy?
He's not here.
I know.
This is the first time he's missed his birthday on the podcast. So,
what is he doing that it's so important that he couldn't be with us?
Hiking with his Boy Scout troop.
Boy Scouts.
He should be teaching him how to podcast. That hiking thing is so nice.
Madam. Yeah, get him their podcast badge.
Exactly.
Exactly. Mr. Stepp, why are we stopping in? Because I'm a podcaster, not a scoutmaster. Really, I mean, you know.
Happy birthday to our very own Craig on the 25th.
Happy birthday, Craig.
Happy birthday, Craig.
26th is Will, the computer guy.
Hey, happy birthday, Will.
Yeah. Wow, right next to each other. It happened, well, one of them showed up for the show.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, sing.
And finally, long-term listener Mark in Memphis.
So long-term as in like, you know, there's no cure for it? Is that what you're trying
to
say?
We don't call them old listeners anymore because we're getting up there.
They're long-term.
We hear from Mark once in a while. In fact, I think I stole his bumper from Slice.
I'm sure
winging
did.
It or whatever it was.
Probably winging it more than anything else. Probably winging it. Yeah.
And it's my only clip that has Joe. So
there you go.
He still remembered whenever Mark calls in. Mark, call in so we can hear from Joe.
There you go. So we don't have to have our seance like we normally do.
If it's your birthday and we didn't give you a shout out, happy birthday to you. And if you want to get on the birthday calendar, all you got to do is go over to chuckchat.com/wiki, add your name to the birthday calendar, and we will give you an appropriate response at your time of year and make fun of your friends.
Yay.
Where's the next thing? We need
right there. It's that button. You push it.
That one?
Yep, that one. No.
Yes, that one.
Oh, it is that one. Okay.
It is that one. That's the right one. We will be right back with Hacks and Strange Stories. Remember when in the Media Corner, and we get some Geek Library love for you. Stick around.
Don't have that any problem either. Technorama, it'll drive you crazy.
Hi, this is Grant Imahara from Mythbusters, and Myth Confirmed, you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
I need to back off on how many buttons are around here to push.
One of these days you'll figure it out.
There's too many. Now I got to hit pause there. So it doesn't play the next track automatically.
How long does it take Mike to do that?
Oh, no time at all.
Yeah. No, to screw it up, you mean?
Oh, to screw it, yeah. Yeah, Mike always just started over.
Oh, I'm not starting over way in. We're way too far. And that's half the turn. Yeah. Technorama is full of duct tape, chicken wire, and warts and all. Hey, hacks and strange stories from Mad Marv. We have a man writes an application that goes through Pi and looks for ISBN numbers.
That's kind of awesome.
That is pretty cool.
Unfortunately, he didn't publish it, so you can't, like,
dig into
I couldn't find my books that are in here because I wanted to look. So this is from, let's see, in January 2015 update. Thanks to Cliff Pickover. What a great name. He's been picked over. For an unexpected Twitter boost to an old article, I should point out on his books on maths and science are excellent. I don't normally apologize for being a bit of a geek. There's a part of my brain that's into computers and space and science and all that. It's just the way things are. Well, he fits right in. He should be a listener. Maybe we should even interview this character.
Absolutely.
Put this into the open source.
Man, this is an old article, too. It's been around for a while.
But honest, even I cringe a little at my latest project.
Sorry about this.
That's pretty sad when you cringe at your own project. Pi is an interesting number. It goes on forever, doesn't repeat itself, and appears to be entirely random. And in an infinite random sequence, you get every possible combination of numbers eventually. Your phone number is in there somewhere, and every book written if you convert the numbers into ASCII.
Dear Lord.
Wow.
Searching Pi for books like that would be stupid, though.
Right.
You'd burn up the best computers on the planet before you get anything worthwhile. There is, however, a quicker alternative. Almost every single book published since 1966 has an ISBN, or as I like to call them, ISBN numbers. Mm-hmm. These days, they all start with 978, and I checked and verified, yes, even mine do. Then there's another 10 digits. The last one's a check digit made by multiplying the others up a certain way. Mm-hmm. I did not know that last part. Uh-huh. Okay, that's cool. Kind of like credit card numbers. There's
accounts,
a formula.
Credit card numbers,
yeah, okay, neat. So I wrote a program that searches for Pi for ISBN numbers. Then it checks them to see if the check digit is a valid one. Then it looks for the ISBN up on Google Books.
Wow.
I got 3 hits in the first 50 million digits of Pi.
It only took 10 minutes.
It took about 10 minutes. Yeah. That says something about computing days.
Right. Well, that was back in 2010 when he posted this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he post the code?
No. That's what I keep looking for. He's not. He just lists 3 books and then it goes on. But I love the comments. There's one. This is awesome. What a creative way to find a good book. This is cool. When are we going to see more? And then, where was my favorite, was down here. It says, minor code bug, Pi actually encodes ISBNs in reverse order. So the author writes back, ha, point me to somewhere listing Pi in reverse order. Where do you start with an infinite number?
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah, why not?
There you go. Thank you, Mad Marv. That was awesome.
Really good.
Now, this is normally where we used to give the shout out to the chat room.
Yo, chat people.
Yo, chat people.
Well, there's no chat people because we don't have the live feed going in the chat room. However, as I mentioned last week, we are in the progress of building things back up in the new studio. We had our audio engineer, Mike, he was in here yesterday and fiddling around, and we really don't have to change all that much to get us a live YouTube stream. And then we need Craig to graft it into the web page so everybody can have fun and play around. So look for an announcement. We'll probably be making that on the Technorama podcast page on Facebook and probably tweeting about it too.
So it's Craig's fault, basically.
Yes. Yeah. He went camping and I can't get logged in because the two-factor authentication points to his phone. Thanks, dude.
Well done.
Yeah.
Single point of failure, Craig. There we go. Oh, Craig, we miss you.
No, we will get that up and running. So more testing this week and hopefully, oh, wait, I'm out next week.
Never mind.
February 2015, we'll get the live feed going back up, at least with audio. But we do have cameras in here, so it should be mildly entertaining in that respect as well. Like when we dance for the feedback mail show.
What we? That's all you, yeah. Chuck.
Okay, we got this. We'll go to camera one.
Yes.
Wait, I'll be running the cameras unless we have a dedicated AV person. Tim, you said you knew how to run this, right?
Oh, I've paid my dues, man.
Oh, this is way simpler. Way simpler.
Trust me, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it, Tim.
Yeah.
It'll be a part-time gig for you.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, remember when music. I just love this. Do you remember Circular Runways?
No.
No, they didn't take off.
Oh!
I did not have that planned. It just, ooh, never mind.
That's terrible.
On January 10th, 1960, that'd be about 55 years ago, the edition of Arthur Radbaugh's Sunday comic Closer Than We Think includes a curious invention that was supposed to literally catapult us into the jet age, the circular runway. You do not want the wrong window seat on that plane.
Wow. I love it. The heart of tomorrow airfield may be a circular catapult-like mechanism for sending planes into the air. It would mean runways are much smaller than those now required. For military purposes, American Engineering Company has already designed a giant wheel that is turned by a great force of jet power. Cables from this wheel serve as catapults for fighting aircraft. The next stage would be use rocket power to catapult planes from a dish-shaped concrete wheel. One spin on such circular runway would produce the same startling speed that now requires thousands of feet or more of conventional runway and with much less fuel.
Of course.
What could possibly go wrong?
The passengers would get blacked out or something.
Yeah, I mean, they just turned to jelly. It's no big deal.
It's like one of those scrambler rides at the carnival where the poor person on the outside is squished.
Right.
Yeah.
And you always wind up sitting next to the fat, stinky guy on the plane anyway. So, oh, man, that's just got bad.
Three of them, nonetheless.
This just took a wrong turn.
Yeah. Nasty written all over
it's
it.
It's got vomit and body odor and everything written all over it, yeah.
Sounds like a good idea to me. Mm. All right. So that was fun. Do you remember CEDs?
What?
Capacitance electronic discs.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah,
this was form of laser disc kind of thing, but not really. I put this in because I was inspired by Jonathan Strickland's Tech Stuff podcast, where they were talking about obsolete technologies. And he threw this out, and I said, I have never heard of that. So I went and did some research and found this.
Yeah, it was the RCA video disc, yeah.
Yeah. Only it came in these cassette-like things. And if you watch one of these videos, the dad walks up with this kind of, well, it's almost the shape, size of an LP, but it's still in the case.
It's a laser
and he
disc,
slides the whole box in there.
Laser discs, some laser discs were like that too.
Yeah,
I thought the laser disc came out.
They did. Oh, but okay. Depending on your player, you put them in the protective cases.
I love the commercial though. You can get the discs as low as $16, and they had some pretty decent titles like The Godfather and. You can see some of these.
Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek, the motion picture. There is a snoozer for you.
Oh, man, love that movie.
Look at this guy's got a wall full of disc collection, which is probably worth a lot of money. The player was only $500.
Oh, my, that's like $4 billion in today's money.
Because this was back in like 1980.
Yeah.
Oh 81, my. Yeah.
Yeah.
How does I that wish even I could read the fine print work? On these ads because I love reading that stuff. I don't know.
My brain just went
it
down
wasn't
the hell
HD.
Of the electronics.
Yeah, this is fun to look into.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. You gave me something to do all night tonight.
Read about CEDs?
Yeah, I'm trying.
At first, it sounded like a weapon, but no.
We'll entertain you to death.
Hmm. We blow you out of water with CED.
I saw that on Tron.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Oh, that was fun. And a gentleman has come up with a real life flying TARDIS. Tim, don't you have ambitions of getting a quadcopter?
Yes.
Drone kind of thing?
Yes, I think I'm.
Well, you might enjoy this because this. I love the background music. This man has made a real flying TARDIS. It's even got Bad Wolf written on the side, but it always flies around kind of sideways like a kite. But
awesome.
I don't know. If you look at the bottom, you can see.
It looks like it's a ducted fan. It looks
but
like
you can't see the ducts on top.
No, you can. You can see the indentations in the top.
Okay.
And I'm guessing he's got a quadcopter in the thing.
At least one.
No, one would be enough depending on what he's made
out of. This thing would have to be pretty darn light.
Yeah, it looks like it's made out of sheet styrene.
Oh, he can get it to land level. That's impressive.
That's very impressive.
So it lands on R2-D2. But normally I wouldn't do too many video things in here, but I thought this is kind of fun because a lot of people have, gee, I wish I could see the TARDIS fly. I love TARDIS stuff.
And I love the clickbait on that whole article too. Is your gut in danger?
No.
Maybe. I don't know.
If you have gas, bloating, and constipation, quit eating spaghetti. You kind of have to look at the video.
All the other clickbait on there is too. Aggressive body painting.
The hottest images of women playing video games.
Sweet. Or dating Russians. Find my next love, Chuck.
Wow.
I don't know where it comes up with this stuff because at the top it had, would you like to download a PDF from ServiceNow? Wait, I work for them. What does my job have to do with these women playing video games?
What? Maybe you're in the wrong division.
I was
going to
say you're in the wrong division.
Apparently so. HR is not for me.
Wow.
Have you gentlemen checked out? We're moving on from the media corner, which I forgot to play the music for, into the Geek Library, which has no music yet.
Okay.
Have you checked out the Philip K. Dick adaptation on Amazon, The Man in the High Castle?
No.
Oh, I have read at least two wonderful articles giving it glowing review. This show has promise.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Is it one of their Prime subscription things?
So it's one just created just for them, though. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like House of Cards for Netflix.
Yeah.
This is an Amazon original.
They have four or five shows.
I'm hoping they take it from pilot into full production because it has... The intro is creepy as all heck. Okay, I don't know if you're familiar with the story.
Not at all.
But we didn't win World War II.
Oh.
And the United States is split at the Rockies. So everything east is German. Everything west is Japanese. And the Rockies are basically no man's land.
No man's land. That's awesome.
And there's this gentleman. There are still these freedom fighters, so to speak, out there. The intro starts out with this German lady singing Edelweiss. But they're showing this black and white map being drawn on, and most of the cities are still the same, like Cincinnati, but I think Indianapolis got renamed to like New Berlin. There's something in there that...
Wow.
But the visuals are stunning. They've got the cars, they've got the... It's centered around... the time frame is 1960 or 61.
Okay.
So it's after the war, so there's some kids who don't know any better.
Right.
This is the world they lived in. And there's these... In the book, it's a, a bootleg, not bootleg, but sort of a pirate book or transcript, if I recall. But in the movie, in the TV series that I hope they make, it's a movie reel, a newsreel.
Okay.
Showing America winning the war.
Huh.
Like raising the flag on Iwo Jima and the Reichstag getting blown up, the whole thing. And they're going, well, if we didn't win the war, what's this? Oh, it's made by The Man in the High Castle. And that's the first and only time you hear about this in the whole thing. So there's some sort of backstory that they have to go into.
They haven't done yet.
Yeah. And since it is PKD, it's got potential.
Oh, yeah.
They crammed a lot into the pilot, but it feels like they got it moving.
So there's a video game called Wolfenstein New Order.
Oh, yes.
And it's pretty amazing because that's the general gist of the video game is that we lose World War II to the Germans. And the Germans basically nuke Manhattan and take over.
Okay.
And so your main character takes place. The Germans are technologically advanced above the Americans. You're trying to stop them as your character. And you end up taking a grievous head wound and being put in an asylum for 15 some odd years. So when you come out, it's the 60s. And so the Germans are everywhere. And there's great things. So they have the Beatles. Are these four German lads?
Yeah, if they bomb Manhattan, then what's left of London?
London has been taken over by the Germans.
Obviously. Oh, okay.
It's their main research facility.
Everything has been taken over by the Germans.
Yeah, pretty much the whole entire world is. And so it's kind of interesting to hear that. And of course, like I said, the music that they have, they play. Like one of the side characters is named Jay. It's basically Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, they kind of throw those in too. Yeah. He's thumbing through the radio and you're like, that's not quite the Beach Boys, but it's
close.
It's about where they'd be at that time. So
and that's kind of what they do with the German Beatles, basically. They basically do a Beatles song in all German. And you're like, it's almost the Beatles, but not quite. Oh, and you're like, okay. It's creepy.
All right, I'm going to have to check this out. And
yeah,
I believe Amazon actually is also doing all of their own original programming in UHD.
Oh.
UHD.
Yeah.
So ultra high? 4K?
4K TV.
Oh.
Watch it. Yes.
For a minute there, I thought you said UHF.
UHF.
I went to Weird Al.
Yeah. Ooh, Ernie Cline is writing a new player, Ready Player One.
Ernie Cline is working on it. We're still waiting with bated breath. Would you care to read since you're so interested, Tim? Brian?
That's okay.
I would be either one of us, actually.
It doesn't really matter. So we don't know when Armada, which is Ernie Cline's next book, is coming out, but now we have something else to look forward to. He's writing a follow-up to his novel about people in the dark future who are obsessed with playing video games, basically. Ready 80s Player One.
Video games. 80s.
Well, 80s, but also it's just there's a giant world that is the world. This news is via screenwriter Zach Fenn, who finished his screenplay for the movie version, which we knew was coming out.
Right.
And there's a movie? I did not know that.
Yeah. Yes.
It's Ready Player One video?
Yeah, movie. Fenn told Den of Geek that Cline is working on a sequel, adding that it's one of those great ideas that has endless possibilities. Mm. And a certain extent, the longer it exists, the more Ernie thinks about it, the more he's come up with. I don't know how he's going to go forward.
I don't know either, unless it's just an exploration of the world, where I could see that working. You spin it off and you ignore the original people and they become kind of a background character guiding someone through something or other, and you spin off and explore another part of the world.
Yeah, because
I can't see it going any other way.
Right, because it's kind of like Happily Ever After in that book.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Kind of, sort of. Remember, he shows him the button at the very end.
Right.
So, don't know.
Maybe he takes over and it's that story.
Maybe, but.
But again, the world at that point is pretty much the whole purpose for Ready Player One was the video game challenge.
Yeah.
That's been busted. So the player character or the player character, the main character of the book has pretty much gotten his dreams to come true and yada, yada, yada.
What do they go to?
Right. But is it going to be,
where does that go?
Is it going to be kind of like, I don't know if you guys watch Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where you got to the front of the train and here, now the keys are yours.
Yeah.
Go nuts.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, now you have to make up the puzzle.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
And it'll take 80 years and you're an old man before someone will figure it out anyway.
Well, and they also talk about that in the book, you know, where, you know, what are they going to do with all the money? Are they going to, you know, make generation ships and send them off? Are they going to, you know, fix what's going on in the world? I don't know. Anyways.
That'll be interesting.
If you've not read the book, buy it. It is awesome.
I prefer the audiobook read by Will Wheaton.
Well.
Will read it, huh?
Yes.
He did an awesome job with that, too.
I want to read myself, my own voice.
He did, what was Robert Scalzi's book, too?
Oh, Red Shirts.
Red Shirts. And I think he did Fuzzy Nation, too.
Yeah, he did Fuzzy Nation. Yeah, he's done a couple of them, so.
I like listening to him. It's like, oh, another Will Wheaton narration. I'll buy that.
Why not?
He does a good job with that. All right, we are at the end of the show. How about that?
Wow, and... Record time?
Almost record time. We've had shorter, but we've had way longer. Right. We don't want to bend the listener's ear too much. If you want to get in touch with us, you know how. As I pull up track 9.
Maybe.
There it is. Ye of little faith. I just can't let it roll into track 10. Oh, there is no track 10.
Oh.
This train has been derailed on the tracks.
Way to go, Captain Snowpiercer.
Call the listener line 206-222-CHAD, 206-222-2428. You can find that on the website and all the other good stuff at chuckchat.com/technorama. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fun as always.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Matt Marr, for sending in that article. And Douglas from Australia, you did awesome. We appreciate it. If you want to send us anything, technorama@chuckchat.com. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. They will look at you funny, but they'll love you in the end. As always, how about a group binary high five?
1-0-1.